And we look back to South Africa's performance at the IAAF World Championships, which happened at the Olympic Stadium in London over the last 2 weeks. South Africa is officially third on the medals table behind the United States and Kenya. And even though South Africa won fewer medals than China, the same number as the United Kingdom, and fewer than Poland, it was South Africa's three golds, whereas the UK only got two golds and Poland also only got two golds. So despite the fact that they have a greater sum of medals, South Africa is ranked third. And that, Ross Tucker, is not a bad performance.
John, it's a historically good one. So for once, we talk about a positive sports story in South African sport.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the positive before I start to nitpick and see if there are any negatives which are covered up by third.
Yeah, we have to do that.
Yep. And it's in line with expectations. Most people were saying if people perform as we expect them to, as their ability suggests they should, six medals, although some of us, many of us, all of us, were hoping for gold for Wade rather than silver, and also gold for Caster in the 1500.
Yeah, so in that regard, six medals was, as you say, ticking the box, which many people would have projected. The difference is we might have come off with four gold medals out of six, and that would have been really spectacular. But I suppose, you know, in Wade's case, he had a difficult London because he seemed burdened by, one, the difficult program that he'd chosen for himself. That 200-400 double is very difficult physically. And the other thing is he's been chosen almost as the successor to Usain Bolt, and it's been quite clear in a lot of the marketing that he's facing a lot of pressure and scrutiny for that. And I don't think it's fair on him. And I think in the future he might find a little medium between how to balance that expectation against his own performances.
Because it was something that I was chatting about from my uninformed perspective late last week, that in terms of natural ability, he is a successor to Usain Bolt. That's an entirely natural progression. But in terms of marketability, you know, he's not the showman. He's not the person who has the gestures and plays to the crowd. He's somebody with an enormous amount of natural talent who works incredibly hard to maximize that national talent, and that's where it stops.
Yeah, you're right. Wade van Niekerk is all about ability and humility, whereas Bolt was ability and show. So Wade is not dancing with mascots and striking poses and grinning for the cameras. And in that regard, the English media were very quick to point out that Wade is not the next Usain Bolt. But, of course, we all knew that. We could see that the personality of this man is nothing like Bolt. So it was a little bit unfair, I think, for him to be cast in that role. And I think in hindsight, it's obviously he would want that gold now. But in hindsight, I think not winning double gold is probably the best thing that could have happened to him, because it means that moving forward, there's just a little less of a burden on him to go and win double golds all the time.
And then the negatives, if they are, it's not trying to find a negative. It's asking a question, which is how much of this is due to coincidence that we have this constellation of natural talents around at the same time, and how much is it due to better talent identification, better talent development, better talent management, better talent resourcing?
Yeah, that's actually a very important question. I'm glad someone's asking it, because if we look at our swimming, for instance, in the last 5 or 6 years, we're now entering the point where Chad Leclerc and Cameron van den Berg are nearing the end of their careers, and we're suddenly saying, but there's no one else. Who's going to take over? And if you don't ask that question, you'll be in the same situation for track and field. My impression is that the success that we've achieved and the fact that we're third on the table is not the result of some centralized strategy. It's the result of a pocket of people working in Pretoria, a group of people working in Bloemfontein, some people working in Cape Town. And what the authorities need to do is instead of congratulating themselves for something that they're not really responsible for, they should be looking at this and saying, how can we capitalize on that success? And how can we further support and invest in those little pockets of organic success that have basically sprung up like mushrooms without us actually going out and planting it?
And are there any signs that this is starting to happen? It might be at a much more backward level than adherents of the sport would like, but is there better management? Is there better talent identification? Look, we've spoken a lot, you and I have spoken about, and I've spoken with other people as well, about the decision to not send some athletes and send others, despite the fact that they'd reached IAAF qualifying standards.
Yeah, so I think that there is better talent ID and there is better recognition of who is a potential next champion. And we saw that because the World Under 18 Championships were a couple of weeks before London and we were extremely successful there as well. So there is certainly something happening at the level below. But again, the point that I'd make is that I don't see that as being controlled centrally by Athletics South Africa, which is where there's a gap. I see Pretoria University having set up a very successful sprint program, and they will continue to attract success. So what we've basically got is a fragmented system, but the opportunity is there to bring that together, and then we can actually look at saying 10 medals by 2019. The other thing I would do if I was Athletics South Africa is I'd bid to host the World Championships in 2023, because then you're sending a message to all 15 and 16-year-olds that in 8 years' time, oh, hang on, that's my maths, in 6 years' time, we're going to actually host this, and then you have an opportunity to emulate Caster and Wade in your home stadium in front of your own people.
Do we have a stadium?
We don't. So that's the only downside.
They cost about 6 billion rand to build, you know, and then they never pay back the initial investment.
My hope is that of the various white elephants around this country, one of them can be, I think, fairly reasonably effectively converted into an athletic stadium. So we wouldn't have to necessarily build the entire thing. But and you're right, that's always going to be the consideration. We've seen it with the Commonwealth Games farce around hosting that. But I do think that hosting a track and field, you don't need the village. You don't need much of the infrastructure for a multi-sport competition. And it would be the best way, I think, to capitalize on the momentum that clearly exists in South African track and field at the moment.
Okay, I see there's a little bit of time before the news at 3:30, so let me throw this question at you. Louis Mankies moving from his UAE team back to the South African team, well, it was MTN Quebec when he joined it, it's now Team Dimension Data. A good move for him? Do you think that they are likely to build a team around him? Because without building the team around him, he's never going to do more than challenge for top 10 in the Grand Tours.
Yeah, and for a South African team, the big issue is always going to be resources. I think that team has done unbelievably well. They've got so much goodwill in the sport at the moment, but they need to take a performance step. And they've, to this point, I think, struggled a little bit around matching the likes of Sky and Movistar and so forth for team strength in these multi-stage races. So one would assume, and I don't know the inner workings of that deal, but they've obviously enticed him back with the commitment of trying to put the guy on the podium, because he's there, he just needs that last little push over. I'm surprised that it's happened this quickly, because it was only recently that he went to the Bahrain team, so it's a little surprise to be this quick, but let's hope that they've got a plan there to actually, you know, as you say, give him the necessary support, because they've certainly achieved good results in one-day races around the world and so forth, and in single stages, but for that team, the next step in their evolution is to challenge for a grand tour. So good luck to them.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ross Tucker, sports scientist on the line to us there.